Well, Mission Sunday is always a special day for us, and we are truly blessed to be able to work with a missions team that has such a heart for it, sees the needs of those not only here but around the world, and allows us to see the various needs of those individuals personally. And that's what we want to do, is we want to get to know our people that we support and those people that we work with personally. And so we're honored and blessed to have a couple today who have taken a great passion and great concern for those who are in need and who have built a ministry around missions. These two individuals are Bloomington residents, are missionaries with the Assemblies of God U.S. Missions Church Planters and Developers Department. Joining their experiences and passions for missions, they have formed MAD, that's an acronym that stands for Missions Awareness and Development. MAD helps local churches, such as ours, extend their reach locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally, helping them have a great impact in fulfilling the Great Commission. This gentleman to my right that we're going to introduce here has served 26 years in a variety of pastoral roles, including lead, executive, and missions. His expertise includes developing and training in discipleship, education, and missions. He has led teams to Latin America for the past 12 years. He's also taught at-risk junior and senior high school students for 19 years. This woman to the right of me has been a missionary most of her adult life. After serving 9 years in Madagascar, she served as missions pastor, hospital chaplain, and adult foster care provider. Back in missions, she then worked with One Hope in the Agora School for Global Leadership. Ministry has taken her to Africa, Asia, Central, and Latin America. Her roles included women's ministry, church planting crusades, leadership training, leading teams, professor, mentor, as well as helping develop and implement community transformation projects. He has a BA in pastoral studies from North Central University and a Master of Divinity from Assemblies of God Theological Seminary. She has a BS in behavioral science from North Central University and an MA in pastoral ministry with a concentration in leadership and management from Trinity Theological Seminary. It's an impressive resume, folks, but more impressive is the love that they have for their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please welcome on this Mission Sunday to the front of our church, Mr. and Mrs. Chuck and Wilma Lormas.
Well, I only wish my mom was here to hear that. Oh, my. Let me ask you a riddle. What do you get when you cross a career pastor with a career missionary? And the answer is not a longer sermon, by the way. But we'll answer that in just a few minutes. I was a career pastor, pastored mostly in Illinois for 36 years. And my first wife and I were married for about a month shy of 41 years. We were on a mission trip in Huancayo, Peru. Part of our trip, I was asked to speak to a pastor's conference there, and on the trip to Huancayo, Peru, which is way up in the Andes Mountains, we had to drive all the way up the top of the Andes, about 15,000 feet up, and then about halfway down the other side. Well, on the trip, my first wife and one of the other ladies on our team became ill. We thought it was just altitude sickness. We thought, you know, rest tonight. The rest of us will go to the meeting. You rest at the hotel, and by morning, everything will be fine. Well, that worked fine for the other lady. She woke up the next morning feeling good, and you know, everything was fine. My first wife woke up feeling very dizzy, asked me if I would help her to get to the restroom in our hotel room. And so she took about 3 steps, had a massive heart attack, collapsed to my arms, and died. And just that quickly, she was gone, which radically changed the focus of my life. Now, we'd been involved in missions through pastoral work for years, but that changed everything. And so I began to re-examine where I was and where things were going in my life and ministry. And although Wilma and I have known each other for close to 25 years now, God brought us together after my first wife passed.
And as Pastor said, yes, I have been a missionary most of my adult life, and it's been a joy. I was a missionary with my first husband, and we had the privilege of serving in the country of Madagascar. And during our 9th year that we were there, he made some poor choices, and we were asked to come home from the field. And I remember at that time just being a very broken woman, saying, God, what are you going to do with my family? What are you going to do with this call of missions on my life? What are you going to do with this mess? But God is a redeemer, isn't he? Amen. Well, sadly, my first husband continued in those poor choices and had moral failure, and we ended up divorcing 2 years later. If anyone is considering divorce, I just want to say it only changes one set of problems for another. But God is faithful, and I ended up having to resign as a missionary at that point so I could get my kids in school and help navigate through this very difficult season. So they made it through middle school and high school, and we all survived. And they ended up going into college, and it was during that time that God opened the door for me to become a full-time missionary again. So it was a pleasure just to be able to get back in the saddle again of the calling that God had put on my heart. Well, then God ended up bringing us together, actually through Facebook. We had known each other for now 25 years, but that time was about 20-some years. And I remember just thinking, God, how is this going to work? How are you going to take this career pastor and this career missionary and make it work?
So the answer to the question, what do you get when you cross a full-time pastor with a full-time missionary, is you get mad. M-A-D, Missions Awareness and Development. And that's the ministry that God put together out of our combined backgrounds. And God has used Wilma's background as a missionary, my background as a pastor, and what we do is we work with churches to strengthen the DNA of missions in the local church. And we work with churches. It doesn't matter what size the church is. We've been in churches where you could count the people on one hand. We've been in churches that ran well over 1,000. And we'll work with any church that wants to improve their missions outreach. And so what we do is we help them in any way that we can. We have an assessment on our website where leaders can go in and they can assess where their church is in different areas of missions, whether it's prayer for missions, whether it's giving, whether it's local outreach, worldwide outreach, whatever it might be. And they assess their own church. We don't do that. They do. And then they look at that assessment. And by the way, your missions team did this. Mm-hmm. And then... You can look at the assessment and say, okay, this is where we are in these different areas. And then as you look at where you are, then you can say, okay, now, where do we want to be in each of these given areas? And then we'll help develop a strategy to get you from where you are to where you want to be. And we don't believe we have all the answers. That'd be pretty egotistical. It'd also be wrong. And we tell churches that right up front. We do not have all the answers. We truly believe that the answers for every community are going to be found in the local church. Because you know your community better than we do. You know the needs of your community better than we do. And therefore, God will take the talents, the abilities, the resources, the creativity within your body to minister to the needs in your community. And you become more effective because you're using what you have to touch people's lives for Jesus Christ. So that's what we do. And it's an interesting ministry. It's taken us back and forth across the country a few times. And we're praying that it keeps taking us back and forth across the country and around the world.
And we truly believe, our passion and our heart is that if every church simply does their part, if every believer simply does their part, what could we do around this world? So you see, as we begin to reach out locally in our communities, we believe missions is both here and abroad. It's not just putting money in the offering plate so we can send people out. It's doing right in our own community, as well as praying for missionaries and sending them out. So we believe that as each person simply does their part, we will begin to see missions just incredible expansion of the kingdom of God, both here in our nation, which how many would agree that it's desperately needed here, and around the world. And so that's why we're here today, and that's what we're going to be talking about. What is missions, and what does missions do? So,
we all know about the Great Commission in Matthew 28, where Jesus said, "Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all the things that I've commanded you." And he said, "I'm with you always to the end of the age." Well, that's the Great Commission. That's given to every believer in Jesus Christ. That we all have that calling to go into all the world. Well, realistically, we know that we're not all going to go all over the world. That would be kind of ludicrous to think that we would all go. Besides, if we all go, who stays? You see. And so we realize that we are all called by Christ to touch our world for Jesus, but our world could be the guy down the block. It could be a farm down the road. It could be somebody at a factory. It could be in the schools. There's a lot of places it could be. But we touch our world for Jesus. And so the Great Commission is important. But beyond the Great Commission, God calls people out and he sends them where he will. And that's where our life is right now. God has called us out to send us where he is sending us. Someone asked us, who else is doing this? Right now, there's nobody that we know of. It's new. It's something God has birthed in our heart. Our goal is to eventually have people doing this in every state in the union. That's going to take some time. I'll figure I'll live to be about 186. And I told Wilma I was married to my first wife for 41 years. I'm expecting the same from her. And we'll be celebrating our third anniversary in September. But you know, God calls people out. And he sends them to specific places. You can see this all through the Bible, especially again in the book of Acts, which is all about missions. You see in chapter 8 where God sent Philip to an Ethiopian eunuch to minister to that one person. And after he ministered to him, the Spirit took him to Azotus, and that's where he was found next. You see Peter being spoken to by the Lord in a dream and being sent to the house of Cornelius, taking the gospel to the Gentiles, really, for the first time. And you see, of course, Paul in Acts chapter 13, when he and Barnabas were specifically singled out. And the Lord spoke to the church in Antioch, and he said, separate, at the time, Saul and Barnabas to me for the work that I have called them to. And so they fasted, they prayed, they laid hands on them, and they sent them out as missionaries. And so we realize that God does have a call on certain individuals to send them out to various parts of the country or various parts of the world in doing what he has called them to do specifically. And you know what? Every calling is unique. Every calling has its own earmarks. Every calling is slightly different. Our calling is different from someone else that's doing work here in the United States. We have friends that work on Indian reservations. I guess I should say Native American reservations, to be politically correct. But we have friends that work with the Muslim population in Dearborn, Michigan. We have friends that work with the Bosnian population in St. Louis, Missouri. All over this country, there are missionaries who have been called out by God to go to a specific place or to a specific group of people to work with them and to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls out people specifically for specific purposes that he has set aside for them.
So the question is, what is God calling you to do? You see, it's not just the people that you support, like the Fitches or the Joyce Lynn or the Lippicks or all these different ministries, but what is God calling you to do? He may be calling some of you to transplant and go somewhere else. How exciting is that? We have friends, actually, that are serving as missionaries at the ripe old age of 75 and 73 now. They were 71 and 73 when they went, and they said yes. And so they are serving in the country of Japan, doing a two-year, and it's now getting a little bit extended. But what might God be stirring in your heart? It's never too late. What is he asking of you? In 2 Corinthians 4... Hold on here, let me find it. 2 Corinthians 5, it says, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. In a nutshell, that's really what missions is. It's taking what Jesus Christ has done in my life, and it's trying to persuade others. It says, what we are is plain to God, and I hope is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you, but are trying to give you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in a right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. You see, it's because of Jesus Christ. It's because of what he did on the cross for us and for everyone in this world that his love compels us. That's why it goes on to say, so we no longer regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And further on down in that chapter, it says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You see, you may think, well, I really don't have any special gift. That's not true. Every one of us have been given a talent. That's what the scripture tells us, at least one of us. Some of us are one talent people, maybe five talent or 10 talent. I think I hang in the one, maybe two talent range. But it doesn't really matter if we're available and say, God, you can have what I have. He's looking for our availability, not what talents and treasures we have. Because the fact is, God can, if he used donkey in Balaam, right? Balaam's donkey, that gives me hope. There's hope for me that God can use me. You see, God has called each one of us. He makes his appeal through us. God has placed you in the job he's put you in. He's placed you in the school he's put you in for a purpose, for destiny, so that we can try and persuade others. You know, it's wonderful to have a church, and I'm so excited about your building program because you know what that means? You can get more people in. And so as you begin to think, as you begin to build that, God, who can I begin to invite so that we can pack this house before we get into that new building? Christ's love compels us. You know, Chuck and I, when we got married, I've been pretty nomadic for most of my adult life. And so when I move in somewhere, I'm always trying to streamline how to build relationships. So when we moved into a house that we bought together, we didn't know any of our neighbors. And so I had a I want to get to know you party. So we invited 10 of our neighbors right around our house into a party and said, hey, we want to get to know you. And so we actually had about 6 or 7 of those 10 houses show up, and we had a good time. And I remember saying, now, Chuck, we really don't want to let them know right away that we're missionaries, because usually that'll just go, wall goes up, you know, people shut their ears off. And so we're like, okay, we're just going to try and, you know, be nonchalant, just try and let Jesus shine through us hopefully some way. But when we bought our house, we had this nice fireplace and mantle, and we didn't know what we were going to put across above the mantle. And we looked for about 6 months and just couldn't find the right thing. Finally, when I was looking on Amazon one day just trying to figure out what we're going to put there, I saw this incredible, beautiful decal of a world map. And so we put that world map across the front of our, right over the fireplace, and then we put on it, taking the living word to a dying world. That's a phrase Chuck had coined from his mission trips. And then we put underneath it, 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ compels us. Because we truly believe that that is who we are. Not just because we're missionaries, because I am a child of God. Amen? Because we are believers, the love of Christ should compel us. So anyway, we're sitting there and we're talking, and all of a sudden someone looks at that map and says, so what do you do? Yeah. So didn't take long. We ended up sharing with them, and we've been trying to build relationship ever since, and just finding creative ways of trying to build in our culture that creates more and more walls, and we have more and more independence and isolation and individualism. We are looking for ways constantly to try and build walls and trying to pull in those relationships. Why? For the express purpose of shining Jesus' love to them. This past Christmas, we had the joy of, for the last several Christmases, we bake things or we make some kind of Christmas something, and we go to these 10 neighbors, building a relationship, working on it, and we'll hand deliver them and knock on their door with a Christmas card and some kind of gift. Well, last year, because of that, we were able to pray with 2 of our neighbors, not for accepting Christ, but at least opening the door and praying for needs that they had in their lives. You see, that is missions. It's here and it's there. And God has called every one of us. He has set every one of us apart to do a work that only you can do. Your story, your testimony. God has specifically equipped you to make a difference right where you are. And then as we begin to do that and we begin to say, okay, that's not enough, God. How can I invest around the world? He wants us working here and investing there.
You know, one of my favorite missions stories is about the cookie lady. And it was a lady in a church that I pastored years ago. I don't even remember her name. She was just known as the cookie lady. And the reason she was known as the cookie lady was because anytime there was a visitor in church, by the middle of that afternoon on Sunday, she was at their door with a dozen freshly baked chocolate chip cookies. I can't tell you how many people came to Christ because she took them a dozen chocolate chip cookies. Also can't tell you how many pounds I gained while I pastored that church. but you know what? She was unique. She didn't have a lot of what you would call visible talents. You know, some people have great singing voices, and that's obvious. Some people are athletic, and that becomes obvious. You know, the guy that goes out there on the softball field and hits the ball over the fence and stuff like that. The cookie lady, all her talent was in baking cookies. So that's what she did. And she was a missionary because she was bringing people to Christ by sharing the love of Jesus with a dozen freshly baked chocolate chip cookies. She would find out new people that moved into the neighborhood. Used to be utility companies would release the names of new people in the neighborhood. And she would get all their names and she would show up at their door with chocolate chip cookies. I don't know what kind of reward she's going to get in heaven, but I tell you what, I bet you God wants her to bake cookies. Anyway, missions. Missionaries do different things. I mean, the Lippics are working with refugees in Sicily. You know, Gary and Donna, they're taking doctors and nurses down the Amazon River to minister. Joyce Lynn's flying an airplane, you know. We have friends all around the world doing various things. Coffee shops in Vietnam where people come in and they use it as an opportunity to learn the English language. But in the process, they're sharing the gospel. They're teaching them the English language through the Bible. You've got places in Africa where they're digging wells for water, ministering to the physical need of people. They're giving them clean drinking water, which helps to stop the flow of disease in so many of these communities. But in the process, they're sharing the love of Christ and they're winning the lost through what they are doing. Teaching. We have a friend that taught business on a university campus in China. He was there for over 20 years. Now he's in Saudi Arabia. But back in those days, he was in China. And in his business classes, he could bring in gospel teams from the States. And those gospel teams would sit there and they would do question and answer with the students. And the students could ask any question they wanted of these mission teams as long as they asked in English. So the kids are learning English. And the mission team gets to share Christ with them because they don't want to know anything else. They want to know what you're doing here. You know, they want to know about this Jesus that you guys are talking about. And they're free to do that on a college campus in China as long as they do it in English. That's kind of neat. We have friends building churches and Bible schools all over the world, training workers and raising up the work of God around the world. I have a friend that went to Azerbaijan and opened a fitness center. And that was the business that he ran as an opportunity to minister to people and to share the gospel with people. A lady that opened an orphanage in Cambodia, and she's been there now for a quarter of a century, highly respected by the government in Cambodia, leading people to Christ by taking in the orphans. We have friends that are preparing to go to the Czech Republic to lead worship in a church plant in the Czech Republic. Being a nurse in Nepal, we have a friend that was a nurse, and that's how she got into the country of Nepal. Stayed there for 9 years as a missionary. We have friends that operate a media ministry in the Philippines, where they send the gospel via television, radio, internet, movies. They send it into areas where missionaries aren't allowed, into North Korea, into China, into parts of Indonesia that are too dangerous for missionaries to go. And we also have friends in Indonesia that are preaching the gospel right there. The point is this, the end game is all the same. They have different ways of getting into these countries, but the end game is all the same. It's to affect those cultures with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to win people to Jesus and to build his church, because that's what it's all about. You know, Paul was a tent maker. He went into an area and he provided for his own means by making tents. and he spread the gospel. And we have to realize that missions is about going and doing whatever needs to be done to get the word out.
So we pray, we go, and we send. We pray, every one of us, we go wherever God has called us, whether it's here or around the world. And if we're not called to go, then we send. So when we look at Genesis chapter 12, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, it is the Abrahamic covenant. And it says, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" You see, that's why Jesus gives us finances. I believe that with everything in me. It's not to have a bigger house, a bigger car, a nicer this, a nicer that. There's nothing wrong with a nice car. There's nothing wrong with a nice house. But my question is, are we living in a way that we are living with kingdom priorities? We have been blessed to be a blessing. We have been blessed so that, what does it say? All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And we're not talking so that they can have a better standard of living. We know many, many people here who have a wonderful standard of living, but they're still lost and going to hell without Jesus Christ. We pray, we go, we send. And in Romans chapter 10, it says, Romans 10:14 says, "How then can they call on the one in whom they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." So as believers, we pray, we go, and we send. That's what missions is. That's what missionaries do. You see, I always tell any new missionary that's heading out to the field and they're fundraising, I ask them this question: are you supporting any missionaries personally? And if they are or not, I say, there's no way that you should stand up behind a pulpit and say, "I want you to support me," if you are not investing personally in others. When Chuck and I got married, I had been supporting missionaries, he had been supporting missionaries, and we're like, so what are we going to do? And we just decided, well, we'll keep supporting them all. And that's what we did. And we've picked up a few since then. You see, we believe not only just speaking it, but we believe it with who we are, how we line up our own finances. If I looked at your checkbook, I could tell you what your priorities were just by looking at your checkbook. My question is, are you shifting yourself to say, "I've been blessed to be a blessing"? Because we pray, we go personally across the street to our neighbors, to our family, or maybe around the world, and we send. That's what Jesus is calling each one of us to do. That's really what it's all about. And when I look at this church, you know what I see? I get excited because there's so much more untapped potential. Every one of us, if we just begin to realign and say, "God, what is it? What is the part you want me to play?" Yes, I've been playing a part, but I want to do more. I want to play a bigger part. God, what does that look like for me? Maybe for some, it's going to pray more. He's going to ask you to take all the missionaries you support and your pastors and begin to pray, your leadership team, and begin to fervently pray for them on a regular basis. It may be that he's saying, "Go. I want you to go maybe to somebody different or somewhere else in Bloomington," or when you have your once a month, is it Salvation Army? If my memory is good, thank you. When you go to the Salvation Army, okay, maybe you're going to say, I'm gonna start going to that. I haven't done that before, but sign me up. Yes, it's out of my comfort zone, but I'm going to give it a shot. We go, and then we send. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. I truly believe Jesus Christ is coming back. I don't know when. I'm not going to tell you the date, but I do know one thing. It's coming close. Scripture tells us that, all these crazy things will happen And I don't know about you, but if you watch the news, there are some pretty crazy things happening right now. That shouldn't give us fear. That should motivate us to say, Jesus is coming back. May he find us faithful when he returns. So if you get nothing else this morning out of this, just remember, as a Christian, we pray, we go, and we send.
You know, every time we have Mission Sunday, there's always a different perspective. We have speakers that come from different areas, that have gone and visited different cultures, some that just do different things. But today, I have to tell you, Chuck and Wilma, I don't think we've ever had that kind of perspective from two speakers before. And so, on behalf of Covell Community Church, I must tell you how grateful we are for what you have shared with us this morning. So, great job. Great job. So I have to share this story because you guys were a tremendous resource and you helped me this morning. My heart feels so much better after talking to you. So, and I'm not going to get into details, but you got, and I'm going to call you this, you may disagree, but you are experts in the field, whether you agree or not. And so I thought, you know what better place to get them than back in the corner of the church where they cannot escape. And so I cornered them and said, I got a question, it's a missions question. I don't even know who to ask, but I know you guys are probably the right ones, and you guys gave me great information. Folks, if you have a question about missions, if there's something you don't understand or don't know, if there's a calling that you feel led to do or something to do, talk to Chuck and Wilma. They're an incredible group of resources that we can utilize. And by the way of our missions team, we have been introduced to two people that truly know their way around this landscape. So we're grateful for it. Chuck and Wilma, you're not expecting this. We do this. This is what we do. And so we are going to take a love offering for both of you. I can say this, and I tell a lot of people that come into our funeral home, I say, you know, I always look at good investments, and good investments are important. Nobody wants a bad investment. We run from those, but good investments are important. You guys are great investments, and so I would hope that we would all give to this couple, because we know that you will give to those in need, and that just makes our hearts warm, too, knowing how much you care and what you're willing to do for the message and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're grateful. Folks, before we move on, I do want to share this. We're going to have our pastoral prayer, but our friend Cork and Bonnie, we love them so much, and Cork is going to St. Louis tomorrow with Bonnie, and Cork starts his chemo and his radiation treatments. It's going to be good. We believe this. We believe that God has got this, and that's kind of now become kind of a Thompson mantra, because God has got this. I remember when Jonathan was going in for surgery, and his wonderful dad, John, looked at us all in that room and said, God's got this. And I believe that those words resonate still today with Cork. And so would you join me today? We have a lot of needs. You will see that the next week the list will be purged. A lot of needs on here for individuals who are going through very difficult circumstances. This is a challenge, but we do know this. We know that Cork and Bonnie are strong. They are tough. They have raised an incredible family. And we know that this will be something that God will help them overcome. And we're grateful for it. So would you join me in praying for them, not just today, but for 30 days, because Cork and Bonnie, are you guys going to be down in St. Louis 30 days straight? Okay, all right. So they'll be down there for 30 days, and in those 30 days, let's just continue. We are going to be your prayer partners. We will be with you all the way. And again, Cork and Bonnie, if you need us, we're here for you. So Sharon, you were raising your hand. Oh, wow. Right on. Right on. Yeah, there's a couple that's been through it too. So, yes. Yep. Man, our tentacles are spreading wide and deep. That is great. How neat is that? Okay, good. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, the Lipics are the ones who came. Their family now is in Italy, and they are ministering to those who are refugees coming over. And so it's a really neat thing how this church is really just expanding its ministry and its missions program. Thank you guys again. All right, well, folks, join us if you want at the altar. If you have any special prayer requests, fill out the little white slips. They're everywhere. And give those to us. I will give those to Jeff, and Jeff will disseminate those accordingly, but we will be praying upon those all day. We'll get those out today, and then we can take care of that. Remember also, immediately following after the final service, or after the final song and the prayer, we'll have a love offering being taken to the back. And yes. Oh, good. Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and that is actually, and let's just kind of do that. So, Wilma, I'm glad you brought that up. prayer cards back there. There's a lot of information on the back table. Cam, can you be the you'll be the beacon of light back there to wave and collect? Okay, good. All right, we are ready. Feel free to join us here at the altar for a pastoral prayer. Our Heavenly Father, there is tremendous comfort in saying, you've got this. And I thank you for your faith, and I thank you for your help, and I thank you for your guidance through difficult times. And adversity is what makes us stronger. It develops our faith. It strengthens it. It refines it. And so today I pray that through these difficulties that we encounter, I pray that you will strengthen our faith, and I pray that you will help us to lean on you more and more. When our friends hurt, we hurt. When those that we love have concerns, there are concerns. And so today I pray that you would help us to see these concerns, bring them upon ourselves so that we can pray for these individuals in unison together. I thank you that you answer prayers. I thank you that you call us to do certain things that sometimes, as Wilma said, take us out of our comfort zone. And that's okay, because that's where we learn to lean on you. And I pray today that we will lean on you more and more. I pray today that you'll be with every single person that gathers here to worship you. I pray that you will strengthen their relationships. I pray that you will help their families to grow in faith and servitude. I pray that you would help us to see the needs of others so that we can give of ourselves, our time, our money, our efforts. I thank you today that you help us to see the big picture that you've created through your perfect written word. And your word is our guidebook, our teacher, and our leader, and I'm grateful for it. I pray today that the Holy Spirit will fill this sanctuary and everyone in it. And I pray that when we open your word, that we would understand it and that we would be filled by your word. Let it lead us, I pray, and let it teach us each and every day. For that, we are grateful. Today, I pray that you'll be with every person that's listed on our bulletin. For many, we don't even know their needs, but you do. And so I pray that in partnership, we will pray for these individuals, that you will continue to bless and guide and help them and strengthen them. And again, I pray that their faith would be strengthened during this time. I pray that you will keep everyone traveling safe. I pray that you'll watch over them, and I pray that you'll be with them. And I pray today for our building project. I pray that, as Chuck and Wilma indicated, I pray that it will just allow us to bring more people to Jesus Christ. And I pray today that you would help us to see the need for us to go out and make disciples in all nations, fulfilling the great commission that Jesus Christ himself, your Son, our Savior, has given to us. Help us to fulfill the will of you and your Son, Jesus, and we ask it according to your will. Thank you for every missionary throughout our world and for the constant efforts that they give in bringing lost souls to Jesus Christ. Make us those missionaries too, we pray. Whether it's here, at work, at school, whether it's across the globe, help us to do what you've called us to do. We praise your holy name and we thank you for everything. Fill us now with the Holy Spirit and move through us in everything we do. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. My wife is in the perfect spot. She has the offering plate, so that is great. And there are prayer cards back there as well. Folks, I will encourage you to consider giving to the Lormises, and I know that they will give to others, and that is just a neat relationship that they have with their team of missionaries and with their group that they support. We're going to take a love offering as you're walking out today. I hope that you'll consider that. If you say, well, I want to make out a check, but I don't know who to make it out to, it is Chuck Lormis. Is that okay, Chuck, that we can have them do that? So Chuck Lormis, L-O-R-M-I-S, L-O-R-M-I-S, Chuck Lormis, if you want to make out a check for a love offering to this great couple. Chuck and Wilma, thank you for sharing with us, and thank you for being such a prevalent part of our church, not only today, but every day, because we feel like that you've really been part of this, and our missions team's really been introducing you to all of them and to all of us. So thank you. Great job today. We are grateful. We are grateful. Thank you. In addition, I will just remind you, we are actually leaving on vacation tomorrow morning. I don't know when. I've said 8 o'clock. Maybe it'll be 7 o'clock. Depends on how badly you want to do something fun, girls. So there you go. So we'll be doing that. We won't be back until the following Wednesday. So just a reminder, we will not be having Bible study this Wednesday. I think I failed to mention that earlier. We would just ask that you'd pray for us on the road and for everybody else with greater needs than ours, who are going to be traveling or who are going to be going through situations and difficulties. We're going to be praying for all of you as well while we're out there. And let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for bringing us Chuck and Wilma, and I thank you for the passion that they have for ministry and missions, and I thank you for bringing them together. In your divine eyes and your divine providence, you saw that this couple could be better together. And we're grateful for it. So thank you for your will and your purpose for them. Now I pray that you'll reveal your will and purpose for us. Help us to be those people who can bring others to Jesus. And I pray that we will look no further than our own neighborhoods, our own friends and family members, where we work, where we go to school, and certainly, I pray, wherever we're at, I pray that you'll help us to see those needs. Today, I pray that you will go with us and keep us safe and help us to impact those in and around our communities and help us to live for Jesus Christ, filled with the Spirit, moved by your great word and your great plan for us. Thank you for everything that you give us today. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless everyone. Have a great week.